Hello and welcome back to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. I'm joined by Sean Richards from Not a Yes Man Economics, and we're going to look at the Bank of England. Raising rates, not raising rates, and more importantly, should they?
Well, there's various issues here. In terms of whether base rate should be 0.5 or 0.25, the answer is very easy. Simply, yes, they should never have cut last August. Where they have found themselves in a bit of a problem, and it is a self-inflicted one, is that they shouldn't have cut last August. Mm-hmm. And now if you look at the way the economy's behaved, then there's less grounds now for having rates at 0.5, almost in some senses that there were back then. So they've got themselves into quite a timing mess here. If we continue with the actual situation and start to break it down, they have a remit which was changed by George Osborne and fiddled with over his time, which not only has the inflation target at 2%, but also objectives for employment and growth, usually expressed in terms of government policy. Now, firstly, at the minute, government policy is rather awkward, because if anyone knows what that is, you're doing better than me. So there's one issue.
Very
but
true.
Be that as it may, and if you say that they'd want higher growth, higher employment. So if we return to the inflation target, which did exist, so lower than that. So we have inflation over target now, 3% on the actual target measure, higher on some others. But then you start to get yourself a little bit of a problem. First, if you look at the imported inflation argument, that came from the pound's fall last year. Well, you can't really do anything about that now. That boat sailed.
Yes.
If you look at domestic inflation, Bank of England in its last inflation report back in August had a long splurge on that, some new measures, and in essence the only sign of a pickup that it potentially saw then was wage rises. This comes to two lines of thought. The first line of thought is it hasn't happened, i.e. an acceleration. And the second is that they've predicted that so many times now that there's more holes in it than there were in my team Chelsea's defence last night. It's just been continuously wrong. So there's inflation done. And so on that, when you start looking forward 2 years, is there a particularly clear argument? Not massively. Background argument, better it would be rates at 0.5%. We've seen the pound be stronger and that sort of thing. So I'm positive in that vein, yes. But that would have been true at any point, pretty much, since they cut last August.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, when you look back at early summer, midsummer even, what has changed with regards to the Bank of England? Why couldn't they have raised rates in August? Why are we doing it now in November? What has actually changed? And are they doing this because they put themselves into a corner and have basically talked it up already?
I think that there are various factors. One is that they like to move after GDP numbers, which is when the inflation report comes out. You can pick either of those are the key because they mostly come together. Mm-hmm. And that's a factor for them. So but of course, then you go back to August, what has changed since? They thought then the economy would pick up slightly. Well, GDP has. It's quite rare for them to get things right. Mm-hmm. And there's a small sort of flicker of something maybe they have. So as you say, this leaves them in a quite awkward position of explaining the timing. Remember, last year, we were expecting a cut to 0.1, which they had suggested, again, at the last inflation report, and indeed, a more QE, and that never came. So there's an awkward lead-in. But if we go back to just sort of running through the economy, if we go through it, as I said, wage inflation, well, it's not really any different.
Yep.
Growth's a little bit higher. So, again, as I just said, maybe. Although here we then get to an awkward thing. And if we look at growth, there's two ways one can look at that. First is to say that we've had 19 quarters of it in a row, so the boom's mature, time to be raising rates. On that argument, again, they're late, but good. On the other side, though, if you look at where we currently are, 0.3, 0.4 economic growth, it's more an area where they've cut rates, not raised them. So again, another awkward issue. If we move to the labour market, then this, from their point of view, is just simply a tale of woe, because they're indicating under output gap theories and employment and so on, there'll be pressure back to wage rises again. But those that recall their efforts on the unemployment rate, which started at 7%, it's hard not to laugh at that now. There was certainly 6.5. They certainly had 5.5. I think they had 6, I'm not sure. They do now have 4.5%. And so they've been all over the shop here, suggesting just around the corner, we're now full up and so on. So all of those things, as you go through it like that, we're back to a fundamental issue. If you're going to raise interest rates, not really any better reason now, in fact, some are worse, mm-hmm. than have been true since they capped them 15 months ago or so.
So we're also looking at a situation, Bank of England tomorrow. I think the market expects 85% to 90% of the market expects a rate hike. What happens if they don't? And what will be the key drivers behind that? I mean, I think the vote will actually be fairly close, and it may mean that they don't cut in November. Are we looking at December? Will they indicate that it's going to be nailed on December? Well, how do you think that will play out?
Well, I think that there are various issues here. I think that in terms of market impact, if we start with that, then you'd have to think there'd be one on the pound. They'd have to be incredibly lucky and something to happen elsewhere mm-hmm. to stop that. I think that the way, like this morning, it being 133 in the US dollar, 114 against the euro, some of that has been due to the expectations that they'll raise tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If we look at last August, then it quickly lost a cent or two afterwards when nothing happened. Because they were, in fact, if anything, the expectations were lower then. So you could see a larger fall tomorrow. If we start to break down and look at it the other way, as you said, break down the sort of nine, mm-hmm. like the Nazgul in the Lord of the Rings and yes. how they might split up in terms of their vote, then there's other factors here. If we break it down on the insiders, which traditionally the Bank of England governor takes with him, there's only really been one clear case, it happened to Mervyn King, that I can think of, where the sort of governor's lost control of the insiders and things have gone against him. But if we break it down like that, of the five, and just for those that are unaware, in essence there are five insiders, including the governor, so himself mm-hmm. and four others, four external members, in theory, from outside the Bank of England. Those five, though two, if they follow through in their speeches, have indicated they won't vote for a rise tomorrow. That's Sir John Cunliffe and Dave Ramsden, who came mm-hmm. from the Treasury. So there's those two. You'd think pretty well nailed on a no, unless their speeches were not what they really thought. Then we come to one of the external members, Silvana Temerao, hopefully I got her name right. Now she, only a couple of weeks ago, said that a premature rate rise might be a bad idea. Now what was she hinting at there? Mm-hmm. So people have taken that to mean timing, maybe a no. So you've got easily, I think, three potential no's. You've got the chief economist, Andy Haldane, who's a loose cannon because he's been hinting he'll vote for a raise for a little while now, having been the fanatic at the other end of the mm-hmm. extreme who wanted to cut everything. So who knows where he'll be. So once you start like that, I think you get some potential for it not happening tomorrow. But agreed, of course, the consensus is massively the other way. Can Carney whip them all into line? And there's a lot, but I think that there are a few quandaries here. Someone like Temerao, which you think, well, maybe I need to vote this way. It's quite nice being pulled out of obscurity, getting a job at the Bank of England. Or on the other side, will she stick by what she said? In which case, there doesn't seem to be much of a scope for voting for it here. If we move to the other side, then even for an unreliable boyfriend, it would be extreme now for Carney not to vote for a rise, but who knows? Mm-hmm. And you would think that people like Ben Broadbent and that would just simply more or less fall into line. For some of the others, I think, again, it gets a little bit awkward as to how they'll come to this, because Gert-Jan Vlaeg, who again was at the forefront and talking of negative interest rates, now suddenly is claiming, well, things have gone so well, we could do a rise. And I think that's a bit awkward, the economy's slowed down. So there's a lot of factors here in the soup that I think could make it tighter than people think. Mm-hmm. What we really don't know, I've seen these things before, is the sort of psychology here, because it could matter quite a bit as to the order of voting. And if someone sitting there thinking there's already a few yeses, could they flick over into a yes anyway? Or someone like Haldane, I think, is in that camp or that. And then, so I think what we get tomorrow could vary quite a bit.
It'll be interesting to see the minutes as and when they're released. To be a fly on the wall at the Bank of England tomorrow.
Well, yes, and also, remember, not tomorrow, this afternoon this will all happen.
True.
We only get to find out tomorrow. Now, I think that's a very bad change, because mm-hmm. it can only leak, can't it? Really, it can only go wrong in terms of the situation.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the pound, certainly this afternoon and first thing tomorrow, see if anyone's heard or had a sniff of what is actually going to happen tomorrow on the official announcement. But in the meantime, Sean, thank you very much for joining us today.